Welcome to another edition of the Sports Resort Podcast. I am your host, Gannon Cornley, with my co-host, Toby Todd. I want to welcome you guys to a Thursday edition of the Sports Resort. On today's show, we have some NBA news to get you caught up on following the All-Star weekend break, some college basketball to highlight what's all coming up as March Madness is just around the corner, and we'll do a Winter Olympic wrap-up. Getting you guys caught up on everything that happened with the Winter Olympics that ended not too long ago. That will all be coming up on this Thursday edition of the Sports Resort Podcast. Let's get it. Welcome to the Sports Resort. This is your home for all things sports. Coming to you every Sunday and Thursday. Get ready for the best sports weekend previews, recaps, and major sports updates coming during the week. The resort crew is ready to rock and roll. Let's get to it. So we want to welcome you guys back to the Sports Resort Podcast. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. If this is your first time ever listening, first of all, we want to go ahead and hit any type of like and subscribe button if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other sort, go ahead and leave a review, leave a comment, and hit that share button. Send us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you guys have. We would really appreciate it, trying to get this out here. Secondly, if you guys are needing t-shirts, definitely hit one of us up. We have plenty out there in all different colors and sizes, so definitely let us know if you are needing a Sports Resort t-shirt. But enough housekeeping stuff. Let's get into the things we're all here for, and that is the sports. We're going to start with the NBA. Of course, the second half of the season getting underway starting tonight. There were some big-time games, big-time players coming back. We want to start first with kind of our predictions heading into the remainder of the season. Toby, I'll start with you first. What team do you think is going to end up being on the rise as we close out this season, and what team do you think will fall off?
Well, one that I think certainly has to rise based on who they've acquired are the Brooklyn Nets. You get the second half of Kyrie back with New York changing their laws. They're going to let him play home games now. That in itself is massive. And I think the additions, adding Ben Simmons, getting away from Philadelphia, is going to help them defensively. They get a good shooter in Seth Curry out of the deal. I think the Nets, they're going to be on the rise. KD's going to get healthy. Kyrie's going to be playing all their games. They're obviously going to be better. I think they're going to jump up out of that play-in spot. They're going to find one of those top six seeds and be ready to go by playoff time. One team that I see falling off just a little bit, maybe ever so slightly, is just, and I hate to say it, I really like this team. I like the pieces they've got. The Minnesota Timberwolves, to me, are a team that has a lot of talent, but not a lot of experience. You're going to start playing games in the second half that are really meaningful. I think there's teams out west, teams like the Lakers, that, you know, maybe a little more experience playing in big-time games. A lot of their final games are going to be big-time games. They're going to win games that they shouldn't. I feel like the Timberwolves just might be that team that, you know, loses the games that they should win down the stretch. We might see them fall to a play-in spot. I really like the team. Taking nothing away from the talent. Cat's a superstar. Anthony Edwards well on his way to being an all-star. Yeah. I just think that, you know, they overachieved a little bit in that first half. I think they'll come back down to earth ever so slightly in the second half. So my riser, the Nets, faller, unfortunately, the Timberwolves. We all want to see the Wolves in there, see some new blood. But I think they're just a little bit away.
No, I think those are really good picks. I'm going to kind of start off with the East, as you did as well. My team that I think is going to actually be on the rise. Now, they don't have very far to go up because they're doing pretty well. I actually think it's going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. I think them getting James Harden, I think him along with Joel Embiid, they're going to gel really well. I think they're a really good regular season fit. It still remains to be seen for both of those players how they're going to perform in the postseason. But I think immediately going into the remainder of this season, in the regular season that is, I think that those two will gel really well. I think it'll take some time, but I think the pieces will be there enough. And I think that they have a really, really good shot at getting the number one seed in the East. And ironically enough, my team, who I think is actually going to fall a little bit, is the Miami Heat. I like what they're doing. I just think that these teams, like you said, the Nets are coming. The Bucks are still right there. And if DeRozan keeps playing how he's playing, the Bulls aren't going anywhere. I think that these teams are going to really make a push. And I think the Heat, just in my personal opinion, have kind of overachieved so far at this point in the season. And I just don't know how long they can kind of keep this up. I don't, by no means do I think they're going to fall completely off and like miss the playoffs or anything. But four or five seed would not be surprised if it did happen. I think the 76ers are coming for that number one spot. I think the Bucks are still right there. And I could see a potential like Cavaliers Heat in that four or five matchup when the playoffs come around. So those are my two. In the West, it's kind of hard to really predict. I want to say the Grizzlies, if I had to choose a team from the West, a team that would fall, are the Grizzlies just because they haven't been there before. I love what Ja Morant's doing. We haven't seen them at this stage yet. So that would be a team if I had to predict somebody from the West. Rising in the West, all these teams have so many flaws, really, outside of the Suns and Warriors. A team that could still see rise is last year's MVP, and I think Jokic and the Nuggets. If there's a team that could be on the move up, it would be that team. A team that has veteran leadership, players all over the place that can really make an impact. So, but it all kind of depends. There's so many good teams in the West that on any given night, I mean, the Lakers are the ninth seed, for crying out loud. I mean, like, as bad as the struggles that they are, I mean, the Lakers still can beat anybody when they kind of want to. So I think the West is just jam-packed from top to bottom like they usually are. But for right now, I don't know. I don't see any of those teams kind of moving too far up or down how they're playing right now. So Heat moving down, 76ers moving up for me.
Yeah, that's a good call with the Grizzlies, as I just saw Ja Morant hurt tonight, was struggling to walk off the court. So obviously, if no Ja means – really no threat in the Grizzlies. A team that's been so much fun for this entire season. But, yeah. And going forward, I love your 76ers pick. It kind of coincides with one of my – I wouldn't even call it a hot take. I would just call it one of my takes for the second half. And that is that a center will win MVP for the second consecutive season after it not happening since Shaq in 2000. But it won't be Jokic. It will be the big man, Joel Embiid. You guys on YouTube see it right there. MVP, the haircut spells it out. Yeah. Joel Embiid, MVP, teaming up with Harden. This guy, he goes out and gets assists, regardless of how he was playing in Brooklyn. Our good friend Connor Reed saying he fell off completely. Second in the NBA in assists. The guy runs the pick and roll to perfection. Stopping Embiid, who can pick and pop, who can catch the ball, make a play for himself, it's going to be unbelievably hard to stop. This man already leads the league in scoring. He's doing it all for the 76ers, and he's only going to get better with the addition of James Harden. That's my MVP pick. I like the Sixers a lot, and I really hope, even though I'm a Celtics fan, I would love to see the Celtics come out of the East. If it comes to it, I would really, really, as a fan, want to see a 76ers and Nets playoff series for the sheer drama of it all.
Yeah. No,
that's my hope in the East. I think the Celtics winning the East, obviously, number one hope. All year round, Celtics winning the East, that's the number one hope. Number two is that those teams meet in a playoff series. Oh, the drama, the high intensity. That would be playoff basketball at its peak. And I'm hoping so much that we get it.
Yeah, and that actually kind of plays a role into mine. I don't know, maybe this is a hot take as well, because we kind of had in our script, we were going to go over who we thought possibly would win the MVP. To me, I think it's really between how well the Bulls and the 76ers finish. I think if the Bulls get the one seed – and DeRozan keeps averaging what he's averaging, I find it very hard to not give it to DeRozan. Because, I mean, come on. Embiid's nice, but he's about to have James Harden for the second half of the season. Now, I get, like, he's been balling without Ben Simmons and really no other, like, superstar on the team. But DeRozan, Zach LaVine's nice, but I don't think Zach LaVine's a superstar. If they can if they can get through this second half of the season with DeRozan as the focal point, averaging what he's averaging, and they get the one seed, I don't know. I just find it very hard to not give it to him, given just the pure superstar role that we see in the NBA now. You usually have to have two, possibly three stars. I think DeRozan going into this season, I thought was a really good, like an all-star. Same with Zach LaVine. Lonzo is fringe. And then there's everybody else. But this dude DeRozan, man, I don't know what happened. And I hate that my Lakers missed out on him, because we really should have taken him over Russ. But dude, I just would have a hard time. It just wouldn't sit well with me. If they got the one seed, say their averages stay the same, him and Embiid, like, but vice versa. If the 76ers get the one seed, I find it hard to give it to anybody else outside of Embiid. So I think it goes to DeRozan or Embiid, one of those two. But yeah, that's my prediction for MVP.
I like that pick too. DeRozan, he's been the real deal, surpassing Wilt in any in any record in NBA history is just nuts. That's just bonkers. Yeah. It is a race between those two guys right now. And there's been great play this year. Had LeBron James' team had a better record, he'd be right there in conversation. I feel the same with Jokic again. And attempts to go back-to-back. Voter fatigue, maybe getting the best of Giannis. It's been an amazing year for all the superstars. But obviously, yeah, DeRozan winning it would be, I think, a great, great thing for the league. A guy who I think a lot of fans kind of forget about when LeBron dominated his teams in Toronto, went to San Antonio, kind of fell to the wayside as they missed the playoffs. And now he's back. I love seeing it. I love seeing it for Chicago. I love seeing it for DeRozan himself. It's, yeah, really a great thing to see sort of a career revitalized.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So that'll do it for our NBA talk. We will, of course, keep you guys updated each and every episode of what's kind of going on within the NBA, as that's the main major sport going on right now as the NFL has ended. We're going to transition now over to NCAA basketball. March Madness is right around the corner. We're so close to getting into the conference tournaments. Regular season's just about to wrap up. So this is, of course, when it's time to get all the people who don't normally watch basketball, have them get ready to fill out their brackets, because their brackets will probably do the best, as they have no idea who's good. And we think we have an idea of who's good, and we will be dead wrong when it comes to tournament time. So, but we love sports, and we have to talk our expert opinions, as we like to think. So as it stands right now, we have our four number one seeds. We believe it's going to be Gonzaga, Arizona, Auburn, and Kansas. Those are the four teams that have kind of stood out the most so far within the college basketball season. The two seeds are the teams that are right behind them: Texas Tech, Baylor, Purdue, and Kentucky. I think all eight of these teams have kind of separated themselves to seem to be the best so far. Has there been any surprises within that eight for you, or is this kind of who you originally assumed?
Oh, no. From the start of the season, there's huge surprises. I mean, Arizona was an unranked team to start the season, and they had a new coach take over, former Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd. They're dealing with the Sean Miller incident, and – if you told me 24-2 for Arizona, I mean, I regardless of how things finish down the stretch here, I would have never thought that they would be a 24-2 team, that they would be running away from the two LA teams to win the Pac-12. But that's what we've got right now. I wouldn't think Auburn. You know, Auburn, I know they're a talented team. They had some great players come in, big-time transfer in Walker Kessler, Jabari Smith. I would not have suggested they would be the number one team in the SEC. For my personal opinion, I do not believe they are the best team in the SEC. They've just been the best so far this season. But regardless, did not expect to see them here. Gonzaga, of course, you always expect to see them there. Kansas, they're always good. But there's been some shockers here, and I'm a little surprised too that they've got KU up on the one line, just given how voters have ranked them in the AP poll. But when that tournament selection committee came out with their top 16. It seemed like Kansas was on the one line, and there wasn't a whole lot of debate about it. I guess best team in the best conference gets you that boost. But there's really, really solid teams that are behind them. I mean, Texas Tech is giving KU a run for their money at Allen Fieldhouse and beating them in Lubbock. I like Purdue a whole bunch. That looks like a tournament team, a tournament winning team to me. So the one seeds, they're there right now for show. The NCAA, they put it out kind of to get people talking. And I think there's no real debate for it right now. By the end of the season, I don't believe these are the four teams that we will say are the four best in college basketball. I think things will change. The last 2 weeks of the regular season will change some stuff. Conference tournaments will change minds. And of course, once we get to tournament time, just throw the seeds out of the window. That just determines the schedule. You can throw the seeds out. But I think the committee, I like that they do this. They show us ahead of time. So they let you know where you stand right away. Like Providence, for example, is a 3-loss team. They gave them, I think, a 4 seed in the initial rankings. So they're like, hey, you know, quit playing bad teams close, Providence. If you want to move up, we're going to need to see some more. I like that they do that. You know, I think that's a good change that they've done. And of course, I don't think that this will hold. I think that come these last 2 weeks, we're going to see a completely different one line. Maybe I'd say two teams on this one line are going to fall off and be 2 seeds. There's going to be 2 new teams move in, if I had to guess. So that's my take on this.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Providence, because I was going to ask you what's your kind of dark horse, if you had to choose one right now for the tournament that's not within those 8 that we just mentioned. Mine is actually Providence. I like Providence. I like what they bring to the table. I want to say Villanova. Like, I really like Villanova. But the fact that Providence right now is ahead of them in their own conference gives me, you know, some cause for concern. Now, Jay Wright always finds a way once the tournament gets going. But 23-3 right now, dude, I like it. I like what I'm seeing from the Friars.
Yeah, and an amazing game last night, too, that went over Xavier in triple overtime. Spectacular game. Team outside, I was going to say Illinois. I'm not, because of my bias. I'm a Michigan fan. We play them Sunday. So no praise goes to Illinois, even though I think they're a phenomenal team, too. I'm going to go with the Duke Blue Devils. It's kind of it'd be a storybook ending. This is Coach K's final year. I think they've got the most NBA-ready player in college basketball.
For sure.
I think Duke can go as far as Banchero takes them, but the contributions they've been getting from other freshmen like A.J. Griffin, contributions that they've been getting from Mark Williams, the big center that they've got, they're going to need just a little bit of that. But I think Banchero can carry this team maybe to the promised land. So it's hard to call Duke ever a dark horse, given that they are Duke. But I feel like we're sleeping on them just a little bit. The ACC, it hasn't been that fun this year. Duke, very good team. Maybe a storybook ending for Coach K. Who knows?
Yeah, and we'll continue to revisit like some of our predictions and teams that we're picking. So with this being the first Thursday edition of the Sports Resort, if you had to book one team to make the Final Four right now, who would it be?
Oh, book a team. You want to say Gonzaga, because they are the best team. Offensively, they show up every single game. 2 dominant bigs, good guard play, good head coach. But I cannot, in good faith, book Gonzaga, because too many times I've seen them falter. If I were to book a team right now, I'm going to take the Arizona Wildcats. And I know first-year head coach, I know that there's a lot of worries there. Guys who haven't played in the tournament because of the ban. They're just so exciting to watch. They're so fun. They're a big team. They're an athletic team.
Yeah.
Ben Mathurin, I think, is a great player. Coloco is a dominant big. And they can shoot the ball. The other guys on the team, the Larsons, the Kirk Creases, they can really shoot the ball. And so I don't think that a lot of what happens, I feel like, in these upsets is teams get outshot. I don't think Arizona can get outshot. And I don't think they'll fear any foe physically. So if I had to pick a lock right now, I'm going with the Arizona Wildcats. So I apologize to the Arizona Wildcats, because you know, now that I've locked them in, watch them be a second round or Sweet 16 exit. I apologize, Arizona, but I had to, you know.
I will not apologize because I truly believe in this team. I did last year, and they were so close. But I'm going with Gonzaga. Like, I know the past Gonzaga teams have not lived up to the billing. But this is a new era. Everyone thought they were undefeated the whole year. It would have been prime Gonzaga to go in there and lose in, like, the Sweet 16. And they rode it all the way to the national championship. And, I mean, they just ran into a red-hot Baylor team. And, I mean, you got to give Baylor all the credit there. But I think this Gonzaga team is too senior-led, too talented, just at all ends of the court to get sent home early. I'm not saying they're going to just a lock to win it all. But I think they've gotten their losses out of the way, too. That's another thing. They're not trying to hang on to, oh, we got to be undefeated and we can't make a mistake and not lose. They've already gotten those out of the way, too. So now they can just kind of go into a fresh tournament. I think they're built for it. I think their team is ready to go. And I think they're a little bit revengeful. They were the hunted last year because they had never lost a game all season. Now the target, I mean, granted, it'll still be on their back in some ways, but not necessarily – from everybody. They may be the number one overall seed, but there'll be three other number one seeds with them. Last year, it was them and everybody else. So I think that huge weight is lifted off them. And I mean, obviously without seeing the bracket, it's hard to tell, but I would just find it very hard for them to miss the tournament or for them to miss the Final Four right now, having an empty field, just taking the teams as is. They would be my team to lock for sure. So we'll see how it plays. Again, we'll revisit these conference tournaments coming up literally next week for some people. So we'll revisit this, see how things shape up. Gonzaga's got a big game coming up this weekend in St. Mary's. So we'll see how they – I put air quotes on that. But they're playing a ranked team, I guess. So you got to give them that.
They'll make the tournament.
St. Mary's will be there. So you got
to make the tournament.
They tried. They tried to book somebody decent. Even though the conference is garbage. But something that was not garbage was the Winter Olympics. And I'll let Toby kind of take this one over. I will be completely transparent. Did not watch very much of this. I saw kind of in passing. I know the USA dominates where they can. But we didn't even lead the medal table. So I will let Toby take this one over.
Yeah, this was... It feels weird because it feels like an Olympics that not a whole lot of people watched a ton of, but there was a lot of noteworthy stuff happening. But of course, it happening in China, not happening live. Most of the events going off in the morning, a lot of people didn't watch. Global turmoil politically obviously played into the Olympic atmosphere, which was a little strange. So I'm just going to break it down. There's a good, bad, and ugly to the Olympics. Good. The United States figure skater Nathan Chen, who blew it 4 years ago, comes back, dominates the field, wins gold this year. That was pretty cool to see. Two African-American ladies medaling in the Olympics was massive for, especially in the Winter Olympics. Two African-American ladies medaling is historic, and it's setting a new precedent for a lot of young black athletes who want to go into the Winter Olympics. Aaron Jackson wins gold in speed skating. And then Alana Myers-Taylor won the silver in monobob behind another American who won gold in monobob. That's the good. This is good and bad. Sean White, he finished fourth, just missed out on the podium in his final Olympics, but revolutionized the entire sport, became the biggest brand in all of Winter Olympics. Sort of the Michael Phelps of the Winter Olympics, in my opinion. Just finished just off the podium, called it a career. What a career it was, from being interviewed on CNN, where he had to cover up that he was drinking alcohol on the plane with his Clever Mountain Dew ruse, till now. Historic career. He should be regarded in the same stratosphere as athletes like a Bolt or a Phelps, given what he's done in his Olympic field. Then there's the bad. Michaela Schifrin, she was supposed to go in and win us 3 gold medals, is what everybody was saying. She actually didn't finish 3 of the 6 races. She crashed out of 3 of her 6, took home no medals. Very difficult for her. Nothing really to say there. Just a poor showing. It happens to everybody. But really unfortunate stuff for her. And the ugly was the last thing that I watched on the Olympics, I believe, was the women's figure skating with the 15-year-old Russian girl who many have called the greatest figure skater of all time, which is interesting to me, one, because she's 15 years old. Her career has barely started. How is she already the greatest of all time? Was interesting to me. And two, obviously, she had the doping scandal in the middle of the Olympics for Russia, who's already competing under Russian Olympic Committee, as if that makes any difference, for scandals that they've had doping in the past. And it was wild scenes. She is the best figure skater in the world. She fell hard 2 times in her final routine, bombed out entirely, lost her giant lead, finished off the podium. And it was really weird, all the scenes afterwards, because the Russians dominated. But it was everybody consoling this 15-year-old girl who shouldn't have been competing because of the doping that they forced to go out there. She blew it. Nobody knows what to make of her career now. So super sad that the Russian Olympic Committee ruined this 15-year-old skater and that the Olympics let her go out and compete. She should have been banned to avoid this, kind of tragic ending to her first Olympics. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see her back, maybe we won't. But it was really weird. Just watching that, because all of the focus was on the loser. The girl who won the gold medal is sitting alone in this room watching everybody flock to this poor 15-year-old girl who's just fallen a whole bunch on TV all around the world. Everybody just watched her fail. They're all flocking to her. The gold medal winner's in this room just wondering, like, what the hell do I do? Like, I'm just kind of in here by myself. Like, yeah. And I can't seem too happy that she just completely blew her career. So that was ugly. That was a weird scene. But all in all, they got the Olympics done. USA did not lead the medal count. Norway did. Congratulations to Norway, I guess. Probably the country that nobody has any beef with in the entire world. So a true neutral that the rest of us can all be happy for, I guess. Wins the most medals. But that was... that was the Winter Olympics. It was very up and down, up and down. There were moments of greatness, moments of pure agony, and all that in between. But at the end of the day, all of our athletes get to come back to America, which right now, based on the global climate of things, is a pretty big win in itself.
Yeah, very, very big thing. Very big thing. So, yeah, so that will be our Winter Olympics recap. Before we end the show, we are going to do something new starting on Thursdays. We're going to call it the Rock and Locks of the Weekend. We're going to pick one weekend upset who we're rocking with to pull off an upset this weekend, and one 100% lock. There's no way this team is going to lose going into this weekend. So I will go with my rock first, and I am rocking with the Baylor Bears to quote-unquote upset the Kansas Jayhawks. Baylor's the 10th, is right now currently ranked 10. KU's ranked 5. So I'm going with Baylor to pull off the upset. The reason why it's really an upset, in my opinion, is because KU absolutely just demolished Baylor the first time these two teams played. Given how well Baylor played last year, that was a pretty big surprise. So I think Baylor is going to avenge that loss in Waco, get some revenge, and still have a play for the Big 12 championship during the regular season. So I'm rocking with the Baylor Bears to get that upset. I'm locking down with the Gonzaga Bulldogs to beat St. Mary's. Toby and I both kind of discussed that beforehand. We both had that. So I have one more. My also lock, taking it away from basketball, is going to be Manchester City going over to the Premier League. Manchester City will absolutely annihilate Everton. After their 3-2 loss to Tottenham, I think they're going to focus up and they're going to put a world of hurt on Everton. So Man City currently number one in the Premier League over there in Premier League soccer. So I'm taking Man City.
Connor's not going to be happy to hear about that. He's been hyping up Liverpool to us all week. They got within 3 points finally. You know, he's excited. He's hyping up a game for April 9th. But we're worried about this weekend on Rocks and Locks. We're not looking over a month. Yes, a month and a week or so into the future. We're worried about this weekend. Yeah. And this weekend, you gave us two locks. I'm going with two rocks, Big Ten Conference. It's not even an upset at this point anymore. In my opinion, you go play in the rack as a ranked team. You're a ranked team who goes to play at Rutgers. You lose the game. That's just the way it works. Wisconsin plays at Rutgers this Saturday. Rutgers is going to beat Wisconsin this Saturday. I'm rocking with them. They always play great at home. I don't know what it is. The crowd, they get them hyped up on goofy juice in the locker room or something like that before the game. They're a different team at home. Give me Rutgers. I'm going to let my bias show a little bit. I mentioned Illinois earlier as a team that I really like. Going into Chrysler, I've got Michigan beating Illinois this week. Michigan needs it more. Illinois, they're playing this game tonight against Ohio currently. I think they're going to win this game. They're going to be feeling good about themselves, maybe due for a little bit of a letdown. I think Michigan takes it in Chrysler Center this Saturday. Who am I locking in? It is the UConn Huskies going into Georgetown and beating Patrick Ewing and the Co. I mean, Georgetown, they are 0-16 in the Big East. This is a bad team. We remember the run they had last year. They won the Big East tournament. It was so spectacular. He went back to the house that he built, Madison Square Garden. They ran through everybody. That first tournament game, they leave New York. They get beat by about 30 points to Colorado. They come back this year. We think they're on the precipice of something, doing anything after they beat Syracuse. No, sir, not a single conference win. I watched them blow it tonight against DePaul. UConn's coming off a big win against Villanova. Uh-oh. Give me the Huskies over the Hoyas. Georgetown, we're getting dangerously close to an 0-18 Big East run, and I think we will get there. Give me the Huskies over the Hoyas. Lock it in. UConn.
There you go. Big time win for the Huskies. And then they just got, on the female side, they got Paige is coming back as well. So big things coming up for UConn basketball, men and women.
Everything's great in Connecticut right now. Yeah,
apparently so. Good Lord. Well, that'll do it for this Thursday edition of the Sports Resort Podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening in. Definitely let us know what you think about the new format. I think I really like this. We can touch all types of different sports, kind of condense the show, and still get all of our content in. So definitely let us know. Again, if you're listening on, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go ahead, hit that rating and give us a 5-star review. Leave a review as well. That definitely would help us out. And hit that share button, most importantly. Share this on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, you name it. We need to be out there. You never know who's listening. So definitely would appreciate that. And again, reach out to either one of us if you guys are needing a t-shirt, all different colors and sizes as well. But this has been the Sports Resort. I want to thank you guys for listening. You guys be safe out here during this weekend. If you're anywhere near us, be careful of the snow. It's bad weather here. If you're anywhere else, we do have listeners that are outside of this country. You guys stay safe out there. Rocking my people from Ireland. But this will do it for the Sports Resort. You guys have a great weekend.